Matthew 25. I was told that this is where you would have begun. The Lord willing, I'll tell you a few things about Matthew 25. Understand, I'm not able to give you the details, not even of one part of Matthew 25. So I will tell you a few things about a lot of it, but not a lot about a little of it. Matthew 25, but first of all, in 24, look at verse 45. Matthew 24:45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart and acts just to the contrary, look at the last part of the last verse, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, Behold, the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Straightway, he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. And the others behaved similarly and differently. Look then at verse 20. And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. I have gained other 5 talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Something similar with the 2. But at the one who had 1, look at verse 24. And he also that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering, and so forth, and so on. And the Lord answered him, Thou wicked servant. And look at verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and so forth, and so forth. Look at verse 30. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, and so forth. Now, look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give unto me. Now, the last verse. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us speak to God in prayer. Now, Father, we are glad that at whatever period in the history of earth man finds himself in, your word addresses it. We are glad that you have left us this book that tells us how to get to heaven and that tells us how to live until that time that we go to heaven, either through death or through the return of thy Son. We rejoice, our Father, and though we were taught from the first that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, we have found more and more that this is true. We thank you for the scriptures and we embrace them as they are indeed the word of God. May it work in us effectually, we pray. Now, we would consider the portion this night, so forgive us and cleanse us and prepare hearts and empower lips. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I read from chapter 24 because it is part of the parables that go along with chapter 25. In chapter 25, we have three parables, perhaps only two, and one of them, history explained in a parabolic manner, but we have these four parables, but in chapter 25, three. And for that reason, I would tell you of another chapter to help you to understand this chapter. This chapter in Matthew is the coming of our Savior. The whole chapter is the coming of our Savior. Not his three comings, but one coming in three aspects of the same Savior. The same thing in a similar way occurs in Luke 15. It is the parable of the lost thing. Understand, in Luke 15, you have a lost sheep, you have a lost coin, and you have a lost son. You have a chapter containing three parables, or one parable in three parts. Now let me ask you, if you have a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, even though you have three distinct illustrations of this loss concept, are mankind, is mankind lost in three different ways? Do you have three creations that are lost? Or do you have mankind that is lost, that is emphasized one, two, three times, but then man lost as a sheep, as a coin, as a son. You understand? So you do not have three different creations, but you have the identical creation. You have man. He's lost, and you could place anyone in any condition, but you get subtle details when you consider man being lost as a sheep, as a coin, as a son. But not three different things, but the same thing looked at three different ways. Now I take Matthew 24 and 25 to be the one coming of our Savior looked at in varied ways. Let me tell you something that I told a dear sister recently, and it's most important that you remember this. Most of the time, when we hear people disagree with us doctrinally, we are right when we become angry and upset. If we teach that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and another person says, no, he's not, then indeed disagree with the man and contend for the faith. If you take the stand that Jesus is the eternal Son of God and someone says he's not, disagree with him. If someone says you can work your way to heaven, and some people have done so, rather than you must be born again, you are saved by grace through faith, disagree with him. But if a man comes and confesses that our Savior came the first time in the flesh, and he's coming the second time in the flesh, but now raised from the dead, glorified, and the Savior said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you behold me having. If anyone tells you that the Savior is coming, do not contend with him, because you do not know the details of prophecy, like we are able to know the details of doctrines concerning the person of Christ. For this reason, this sister that called me recently, she said someone had recommended a book, and this man said that the Lord was coming at a time different from what she had been taught that he was coming. I said, did you tell me the man said the Lord was coming? She said, yes. Did he deny that he was coming? No, he taught strongly that he was coming. I see. You read another book that said the Lord was coming. Did he say the Lord was coming? He said the Lord was coming strongly. And another, yes, the Lord is coming strongly. I said, how do they all agree? She said, they all teach the Lord is coming. Then, it is not heresy if a man teaches that the Lord is coming. There is a disagreement as to when the Lord is coming. There are good men that teach the Lord may come today. There are some who teach that the Lord may come 3.5 years from now. There are some who teach that the Lord may come 7 years from now. But they're all agreed in this, that the Lord is coming. And I remember I was with Brother Gilbert, and I was with Dr. Charles Rolls at a conference, and all of us agreed that Jesus was coming. But Dr. Rolls said that when he comes, it wasn't an entirely different thing from what Brother Gilbert and I said was the coming of Christ. But all of us agreed that the Lord is coming. So, if you are able to perfection, to give all the details of prophecy, if you know every jot and tittle, and I know some of my dear brethren who can tell you, they can turn to Ezekiel, they can turn to Daniel chapter 9, they can turn to Zechariah, and they can interpret every nuance of the scripture. I tell you that I am not able for this reason. Anything I've ever told you, I haven't had to retract it. Tell me anything I've ever told you that you could prove that I was wrong in. You say, well, there are things I disagree with. I said that you could prove me wrong. You say, I can't. No, that's because I'm not going so far. I'm going to contend that the Savior is coming back. My Savior promised that if he went to prepare a place for me, he's going to come again and receive me to himself, that where I am there, I may be also. Where he is, I'm going to be. I know that. And not only so, but if you ask me, for all that I know for sure, my Savior may come today. For this reason, my attitude is this. I turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And I'm waiting for his Son from heaven. And for all that I know for sure, he may come today. He may not come until after the tribulation. He may come in the midst of the tribulation. But I am waiting for him, and I hope he comes today, and I confess that even though I probably know more about these things prophetically than you do, things that would make me think he might not come until after the tribulation, I confess that ever so often I look to heaven and I say, come, Lord Jesus, and I genuinely expect him to come. But I'm telling you, I cannot be sure. It may be that he shall not come until after the tribulation. You understand? But all these men that I told you that disagreed on the details of Scripture with me, they all agreed on one thing. The Savior went to heaven. The Savior is coming back from heaven, and he's going to take us to be with himself. And so for that reason, I do not argue with them, because I cannot put all these things in place. I say it without shame, because I found no man who's able to put them all in place. However, I take this to be the tenor of the portion that I've read to you in Matthew 24 and 5. That is, it is the coming of our Lord at the same time, but for different purposes. Just as I told you that Luke 15 was the parable of the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, this is the parable of the coming of our Savior. And in the first parable, he comes as the bridegroom. In the second parable, he comes as the Lord. And in the third parable, historical parable, he comes as the king. He comes as the bridegroom to go to the marriage feast. He comes as the Lord of the servants to make a reckoning with his servants. And he comes as the king to judge the nation. I take it that this is the same coming of the Lord. It does not all happen at the same time, because when our Lord comes, there are things that are going to be done at one time of his coming, at another time of his coming, and then the very last thing that he does at his coming. But the portions that I have read place before us our responsibilities that are to be fulfilled in our lives until our Lord comes. And so for that reason, this is what we are to be doing. In Matthew chapter 24, we are to be feeding the household of God. In chapter 25, we are to be watching for the return of the bridegroom. In the parable of the talents, we are to be working until our Lord comes. And then in the parable of the king and the nations, we are to be following his steps. What do I mean? The difference between the last portion of Matthew 25 and the others is that they've been told, the virgins, that the bridegroom is going to come. They are preparing for that. When these servants have been given talent, they know that they are to occupy till they come. But in the portion about the nations that are before the Lord, they spontaneously and unknown to themselves, they are living and behaving in a way that is admirable and that is commendable, and our Lord does commend them, but they know nothing about it. Come ye blessed of my heritage, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Because I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me the drink, I was sick, you visited me. And they'll say, Lord, when did we do this? You see? They didn't even realize that the things that they were doing were going to be examined in the coming day and were going to be outward evidences of an inward condition of the heart that caused him to say, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. So in the portions that I've given you, you have specific duties that are given to servants to feed the household of God. You have those that are to watch for the return of the bridegroom. Those that have talents that are to trade with those are talents until he comes. And also, you have nations that are simply assisting some that Jesus calls these my brethren. And he deals with all of them. Now let me tell you the similarity between all these things. In all of them, the Lord is coming. And the saddest thing about it is that in all of them, there are some who are going to be accepted and some that are going to be rejected. Not in one instance that I've read to you do we have 100% that are well-pleasing in the Lord's sight. It says, who then is that wise and faithful servant? But it says, if that evil servant shall say, my Lord tarrieth. So here is a servant that is feeding the household when the Lord comes. It says, blessed is that servant. But here is a servant that says, my Lord delayeth his coming. And he begins to live in debauchery. And the Lord comes and catches him that way. And he casts him out. And there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, I see. So here are servants. And some are wise and faithful. And some are wicked servants. Yes. And notice, when the Lord comes, they are separated. You have virgins, five wise and five foolish. And when the Lord comes, they are separated. Some go with him into the marriage feast, and some are shut out. When the Lord comes to make a reckoning with his servants, some receive the commendation, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. Be faithful or have authority over many things." But then it says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." And then it says, "Cast him into outer darkness." And sad to say, when the king arranges all the nations before him, you have some to whom he says, "Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And then he says, "Depart ye cursed from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see that similarity? The Lord comes, and when the Lord comes, it is what was done before the Lord came that counts. Because after the Lord comes, there is nothing that can be done for working for the Lord, and there is nothing that can be done to prepare you for eternal life. This is what God is teaching. This man, who was a servant that was wicked and said, "My Lord delayeth his coming. He's tarrying." When the Lord came back, he didn't say, "Lord, give me another chance, I'll work for you." He was cut asunder. In like manner, the foolish virgins, when the door was shut, they wanted to get in, but the Lord wouldn't let them in. And the servant that had buried his talent, nothing could be done about it. He was cast into outer darkness, and the nations that had not done what they should toward Jesus' brethren, then they were sent off into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is what God is telling us. If you're going to do anything for God, you've got to do it now, because when he comes, there'll be no time to do anything for the Lord. And even though we are saved by grace through faith, the behavior of those in these parables manifests the condition of their heart. And let me give you one encouraging note. It's this. You have the five wise and the five foolish virgins. I would think that since they were wise, they would be alert and watching when the Lord came. But it said, while the Lord tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But when the Lord comes, thank God that the wise virgins that had secured oil in their vessels, even though they had slumbered and slept and were guilty the way that the foolish virgins were, since they had the oil, they went in and the door was shut. Now that's an encouragement, because how many of you have failed your Savior? How many of us have slumbered and slept? And yet, if we are truly in possession of that which makes us genuine followers of Christ, it says when he comes, we'll be ashamed, yes. So much time wasted because we slumbered and slept, but when he comes, thank God, he's going to take us in. And this thought. Why is it that some men have so much more than others? It says, he gave them these things according to their several ability. Now I would say, Lord, I would like 5 talents. The Lord would say, I'm sorry, but your several ability is 2 talents. And so if we are saying to God, well, I think you should have given me more, you understand that God gave you as much according to your several ability that you were able to handle. Now, one other thing. Concerning the nations and concerning these parables. These parables are all condensed. They began when our Savior leaves his possessions with his disciples, and then he leaves them, and when he comes back, the same ones to whom he gave his possessions are dealt with. But it's never this way in real life. Because if our Savior gave things to Peter and Andrew and James and John, why, they died and another generation came and another generation came, but this one is looked at as representative of the whole. Having said that, and I can't tell you any more, understand that in all of these parables, they all are at the consummation when our Lord does return again. Notice that. When the Lord comes back, it's time for them to be reckoned with. When the bridegroom comes, he is going to the marriage feast. When the Lord sits on the throne of his glory, the millennium has come. And for that reason, these are parables that are going to take place at the very end as to when the Lord comes. And if I had more time, so much I could tell you. But this much I can tell you, that things are ominous, but at the same time, which one of us does not lift his eyes to heaven and considers that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh? So, if this is what God expects of us from these parables, if we have ability, let us feed the household of God. Let us be faithful in watching for the bridegroom, and let us take God's possessions and try to double them, increase them, so when he comes back, we'll have something to give to him. And let us live every day in a way that is not self-conscious, but in a way that is commendable by our Lord. So much more, but